May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So just after I had finished my undergraduate degree at the London School of Economics, and before I had to put on a tie and a suit and go off to work as an investment banker in London, I took a final backpacking jaunt to a foreign land with a friend of mine. And we went to Egypt for 5 weeks, and we lived off a few dollars a day. We stayed at some pretty flea-bitten hotels. We traveled on local transport, and we ate some extremely dodgy food from little local stalls in the streets. We traveled all around the country. We went down the Nile in a local sailing boat, a felucca they're called. We went to El Alamein to see the battlefield where the British won their first victory against the Germans in the Second World War. We took in a few pyramids and other such sites. And we also went to the Red Sea. And we traveled from Luxor on the Nile in the south across the desert to the Red Sea. And we went on a local bus, which we caught early one morning from a marketplace. And it was one of these small kind of Japanese mini buses, and we were packed in there like sardines with our local Egyptians, and so off we set. And after we'd been traveling for a while, I felt this kind of finger tapping my shoulder, and I turned around, and there was a youngish Egyptian man, and he asked me in kind of rather broken English, "Are you of the cross?" And everyone was looking and wanted to know, and everyone was intensely interested in what the answer was going to be. And it was early in the morning, and I was a bit slow, and I didn't really understand what he meant. And I said, "Sorry, I don't know what you mean." And he said, "Are you of the cross?" My friend, she was a bit more on the ball, and she said, "I think he means, are we Christians?" And everyone was waiting for the answer. And I said, "Yeah, we're Christians." And everyone seemed very kind of pleased with this answer. And then they rather excitedly pointed to the back of the bus, and there sitting in the back row of the bus in the corner was everyone else in the bus was dressed in fairly kind of Western modern clothes, but in the back of the bus in the corner was this little old wizen man. He looked like he'd stepped out of the Arabian Nights, swathed in robes and turbans and everything, and they said he too is of the cross. Of all the people on the bus, he would have been the last person I would imagine was of the cross as well. And he pulled back his robes, and there, tattooed on his wrist, was a very simple cross. And it was a remarkable experience. I mean, I felt, here am I, and with my friend, two Northern Europeans with light skin and blue eyes and light hair. And there is this man who looks like he had stepped out of the Bible, so different looking from us. But the cross, the sign of Christ's ceaseless love, was the thing that united us across any racial or national barriers. We were united by the love that Christ has for all of us. And I was reminded of this spiritual encounter by news of the Pope's recent visit to Egypt, and in particular by the speech he gave at the Al-Hazar University, that seat of ancient Islamic learning, where he delivered a very powerful speech in the presence of the Grand Imam of Cairo. And in the speech that he gave, in many ways, helps, I think, illuminate further our gospel reading today. This reading in which Jesus talks about being the shepherd whose voice his flock recognized, the voice of love, but in which he warns us about the voice of imposters, the voice of thieves and bandits who will come to try to lead that flock away. And he warns us to be on guard against those voices. And in his speech at the Al-Hazar University, the Pope talked about those who masquerade using the voice of religious language to sow violence between people. And he warned Christians and Muslims and Jews to be on guard against those who use the language of our religions to promote division and hatred and violence. He said, "Violence in the name of God," I quote, "is the negation of every authentic religious expression." And again, quoting the Pope, "No act of violence can be perpetrated in the name of God, for it would profane God's holy name." And elsewhere, in a recent TED talk and in his recent book, the Pope talks about the tone of voice that's authentically Christ's. And he talks about a radical tenderness as being that tone of voice that identifies the true voice of Christ. And he talks about what that radical tenderness means. What is tenderness? It is the love that comes close and becomes real. It is a movement that starts from our heart and reaches the eyes, the ears, and the hands. Tenderness means to use our eyes to see the other, our ears to hear the other, to listen to the children, the poor, and those who are afraid of the future. And as a Trinitarian Christian, I believe that that authentic voice of Christ, that voice of radical tenderness, we encounter it in church and in through the voices of Christian leaders and Christian people, but also through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can encounter that authentic voice of Christ in many other settings as well, in the secular world, even in through the voice of other religions, just as we can hear the siren voice of evil masquerading in many other forms that on the surface are things that are important, like religion or nation or race, but can so easily be perverted. And we come to church to learn and to practice how to hear the authentic voice and how to recognize the voice that comes from the evil one who leads us astray. I don't know about you, but I feel that summer is coming, and I'm beginning to think about the books that I'm going to read on our dock of our cottage up in Maine over the summer. And I've been thinking about, perhaps you are as well, thinking about what books you're going to read. And I want to recommend a book that I've just recently read to take with you that really speaks about the authentic voice of Christ and that abundant life that Jesus promises for us. It's a wonderful and it's an easy to read book for the summer. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's called The Book of Joy, and it's the record of a series of conversations between Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama that took place in India. And it's the kind of book that it's a really good holiday book or book to read on an aeroplane, because you can just dip in and out of it. You can just choose to read a chapter. You don't have to slog your way through from page one to the end. But it speaks about that radical tenderness. It speaks about what a life of abundant joy is about. So this is Adrian's formal summertime spiritual reading recommendation. Amen.